today. But I want to encourage you, because I know some of you brought your Bibles, some of you have smartphones or your tablets or whatever. I'll send this message to anybody in here. We're going to look at a lot of Scripture today, because Scripture is where our faith comes and our strength comes from. But if you want to turn to something, I want you to turn to one in the Old Testament, which is Proverbs chapter 6, and one in the New Testament, which is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And just going to, we're still in this series. I did this series a couple Sundays ago, talking about fight the good fight of faith. And we talked about understanding the new birth, or understanding salvation, what it really means. And a lot of us have heard about salvation and being born again, but we don't understand it. And I heard a story this week at a pastor's conference that really shocked me. I shouldn't say it didn't surprise me, but it was a person here in America. The American church, and I'm just going to talk about this for just a second, the Western church is, today, the way that churches are being started is you can have a seed money, which is like, you know, capital to start a church. You can have some leadership. You can have some gifted leadership. I mean, guys and ladies that can speak and they're charismatic and all those things. And you can put a pretty good band together and for a Sunday morning and have the smoke and the lights and everything else. You can do all the marketing on social media. And did you know what? On Sunday morning, you can gather a crowd. And this, when I was in this pastor's conference, they were telling a story at our luncheon that we had just with a small group of pastors, that he knew a guy that was a pastor that had created a church and done all these things that I just told you. The church had grown to 5,000 members, and one day this guy that was the lead pastor of this church, so-called pastor of this church, was sitting in his office, and he realized through the word of God that he had never been born again. And he's leading a church of 5,000. And everybody's like, wow. You know, we were all sitting there going, wow, how does that happen? That can happen in the American church over here. I don't know about all the other countries, but I'm saying that here in America, that can easily happen. That's why you need to pay attention who you're listening to. You got to make sure, you got to pray. That's why you pray and say, God, where am I supposed to go to church at? Or who am I even supposed to listen to online? And all those things. Okay, I just wanted to share that, because what God is doing right now in the body of Christ is, and I want the younger generation to really hear this, is God is trying to wake the church up, because we have slowly went to sleep, the church. I'm talking about the big C, where the church has just became an audience and we're not an army. God wants an army, not an audience. Now, the audience of one, like that Janice said with the about prayer, that's your audience, the audience of one. But God wants an army, not an audience. I'm not your entertainer today. Hope you didn't come to be entertained. I told Jade on the way in, I said, you remember that scene in Gladiator where he just throws the sword in the stands and said, are you not entertained? You know, I said, sometimes I want to do that at church, you know. But I'm not an entertainer. God called me to be an equipper. This is not a theater today. This is a missions outpost. This church is a missions outpost located here on Highway 34, just outside of Leedy. I do not want you guys to be consumers. I mean, you just come here and sit. You come and sit and be taught the Word of God, but you're not going to be a consumer. You're to go out into the harvest and be a producer. Look at somebody and say, I'm a producer. And what's going on in the church today is we have a lot of overstimulated and underdeveloped Christians in the church, because the church is more like an audience, it's more like entertainment, it's more like theater, it's more like consumers, and it's just created a whole bunch of people that are overstimulated and underdeveloped, and it's sad. And so today I want to welcome you to the Holy Spirit Gym, and I'm your spiritual trainer today, and we're going to lift some weights, amen? Okay, I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He said that great faith is a product of great fights. And that is so true. And we're going to learn what we're supposed to be fighting. And the fighting is, we learned this, if you remember a couple Sundays ago, the fighting is for us to stay in faith, to stand in faith. And somebody may say, well, I thought our fight was against the devil. The devil's already been defeated. I thought my fight was against the flesh. No, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you crucify your flesh. There may be some things come up, and you got to contend for it, and you got to, like, the heart issues that come up, and dealing with the flesh, you got to put it under. You got to let your spirit man become the boss man. Okay, so if Satan can hold us in the arena of reason in our minds, he can defeat us every time. But if we hold him in the arena of faith, we will defeat him every time. The faith fight is the only fight we're supposed to be in. If we're in any other fight, then we're in the wrong fight. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against somebody else. Our fight is not against another denomination. Our fight isn't against my flesh. My fight is not against the world even, and my fight is not against the devil. My fight is to stand on the Word of God and stay in faith. That's the fight. One of our greatest enemies to faith is the lack of understanding or the lack of knowledge of God's Word. And what it does is when we don't know, it produces unbelief. You can't believe beyond your knowledge of God's Word. Some of you, and I'm just going to say this, and I want this to challenge you, because this is challenging me. Some of us have been in church for so long, we ought to be teaching somebody else, but we're not. We're still having to be spoon-fed the Word of God. As we grow, then you're supposed to be bringing somebody else along, discipling them. And everybody said, amen. So the second thing that we're going to look at is understanding our place in Christ. And I want to say this, and if you're on social media, I don't mind you posting and tweeting since you're in church, but here's a good one to comment. This is probably my message in a sentence. Jesus wants you to follow him, not just fit him in. Jesus wants you to follow him, not just fit him in. A lot of people are going to church today just because they're just fitting Jesus into the schedule. But come Monday morning, they're not following him. And so they're not very good advertisement for the body of Christ when that happens. I'm going to teach you something today, how to fight the good fight of faith, but this is going to help you tomorrow morning when you get out of bed. And everybody said, aren't you glad you're in the gym this morning? Ready to pump some iron? Okay, here we go. 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 12 says, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. This is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Then he tells him, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession. Everybody say good confession. In the presence of many witnesses. I love that. Everybody say good confession again. We're going to learn about good confession today, good confessions. And I just want to say this because I know that I just said some of you here have heard the word and you ought to be teaching somebody else. And there was a time when I joined a gym. I don't look like it right now, but I need to get in the gym again. But I got into a gym, and in this gym, every gym I've learned has a personality or how the gym runs. So in this particular gym I was in, there was a lot of guys pumping iron and doing the powerlifting. So instead of me just going and riding the bike and losing some weight and lifting a few, you know, I get involved in the gym. Okay, then I got to compete, right? Here comes the testosterone and all the stuff. So here I've got to compete with these guys that are 30 years younger than me. And so I start lifting weights and I start deadlifting. And I'm a pretty big old boy, and I start deadlifting, and I'm pretty strong, okay? I'm not bragging on myself. I am, but I got to this point, not bragging on myself, but I am, but I got to this point where I had this mental block where I could not deadlift 300 pounds, okay? Now, I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but I couldn't deadlift 300 pounds, and this guy that was training me said, Mark, you've got a mental block in your mind because I guarantee you you could probably do about close to 500. And I was like, what? Because every time I grabbed a hold of that 300 pounds, I was like, my back is going to come out my backside, right? That's what I was feeling. And I'm like, I cannot do this. And he said, Mark, you can do this, but you've got a mental block up here, and you got to get past this. And one day I got past it. And guys, and then my absolute PR, my personal record that I got was 465. And I did 465, and I could have done more. I think I could have got close. I could have got maybe 495. Yeah. Here's the deal, what I'm telling you. There's more in you that God wants to, that you can do for the kingdom of God in every one of us in here. And some of you've got this mental block. The enemy's put this mental block in there that you can't do it, and you can. What I'm teaching you today is we all can walk in this. Every believer is to be a minister. It's not just for a select few. Every member, everybody can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. If you believe it. You can do that. But some of you got mental block in there like, nope, I got to call the pastor because he's the anointed one. No, you're anointed. You're anointed. If you're a son or daughter of the Most High God, you're anointed to do that. And everybody said amen. Everybody ready to lift some weights? All right. Here's what happens when I say the word confess. If you've been in the church for any length of time, the first thing that comes to most people's minds is to confess sin. And that's good. I'm glad. But a lot of people just stay right there. And the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's the deal. Every time I say that, and a lot of people just think about confessing sins, and I want to tell you something, there's more to confess than just your sin if you're going to grow in God. We all need to confess our sin. I still do to this day. I just confessed right up here in this altar about something this morning that came up this week, like Janice was talking about, because we're all in this walk. And when I say Janice, it was the Holy Spirit through Janice that was saying this. When we're in this walk with God, God just reveals your heart in layers to you. It's like, there's something you need to deal with. And when it happens, you need to deal with it. Because if you don't, then your growth is going to be stunted. And then some of you in here, the Holy Spirit has revealed something, and you've been walking in that for 2 years, and you haven't done anything about it. And God's reminding you today, you need to go back and take care of that. And then you can start growing again. But right now, your growth is stunted because you hadn't taken care of what the Holy Spirit revealed to you last time. I don't want my growth to be hindered. That's why we got up here in this altar and put something underneath the blood of Jesus today. And everybody said amen. So that there is good confession when you confess sin. The Bible says you'll be healed when you confess your faults one to another. I'm going to take you a step further, though, because God wants you to start confessing who you are in Christ. Understanding your place in him. Understanding your place in Christ. Proverbs 6, verse 2 says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Some of you need to put that on your mirror in the morning. Because a lot of people get up and they look in the mirror in the mornings and they say, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I'm not going to amount to anything, I'm not educated, I don't have this, I'm broke, I'm this, I'm that. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth, your own mouth. Enemy didn't have anything to do with it. The world didn't have anything to do with it. Your flesh didn't have anything to do with it. Out of your own mouth is coming your defeat. Out of your own mouth. Okay. And somebody's like, well, he's starting to teach this new age stuff. This ain't new age stuff, guys. This is Bible stuff. This is biblical faith. Mark 11:23. We're going to read what Jesus said. Do everybody believe that Jesus was a man of faith? He's a son of God. And this is what he told us. He said, truly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Jesus is saying, you've got to believe it in your heart, and then you've got to say it. Yes. Believe and say. Believe and say. A lot of people believe the wrong things in their heart, and they're saying the wrong things. And then they wonder why they're walking around in defeat. You're doing it to yourself. Yourself is your biggest enemy. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That hold fast means that's the fight of faith. That's holding to your confession of faith in him, walking in him. The majority of Christians, though sincere, are weak in their faith. And this is the reason why. This is because they never really dared confess what God's word says about them. They have never dared confess that they are what the Bible says they are, that they are who the Bible says they are, and that they have what the Bible says they have. Okay? A spiritual law too few of us realize is our confessions rule us. Our confessions rule us. You might be saying, well, Mark, you're a great man of God. You're a great man of faith. And I'm telling you guys, this very week, my precious wife had to tell me, she said, "Mark, you're in Negativeville today, and you need to get out of it." Didn't you, babe? Yeah. I mean, she said a lot sweeter than that to me, but she was like, "You got to quit talking that way, because what you're confessing is going to become a reality if you don't stop it." And so thank God for my wife to tell me that. And you better have some people in your life that'll tell you that too. They'll say, "You know what, you're being negative today and you need to snap out of it." Because that's going to become a reality to you if you don't. And everybody said, amen. Testimony is a part of the faith life. If you want to develop robust faith, then continually tell what the Lord is doing for you. Amen. It was like that day that I had that mental block with the 300 pounds. I'm using that as an example. I kept telling myself, "I'm stronger than that. I can do that. I can go over 400. I can do that." And then one day it happened. There's so much mental block that we do in life, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, relationally, financially, a lot of mental blocks that we got to get through. Faith is like love. It grows from confession and expression. I know some of you in here are married. You have a spouse. If I don't go home and start confessing that I love Jada, and if I don't ever express my love to her, guess what's going to happen? You're going to grow out of love. And a lot of you in here have lost your first love because you're not giving voice to your faith. Yes. You're not giving even an expression to it. Did you know expression of your faith is coming to church? That's an expression of your love for God. Yeah. It's not just because the pastor wants you here so he can count nickels and noses. It's because it ought to be your expression of my love for God for what he did for me. Yes. Did you know what? There's been days that I wake up and I don't feel like going to church. You know what I do to overcome that? Yeah, go to church. There it is. But the thought that I have to get me motivated to go to church is he went to the cross for me. And he didn't have to, but he did it. And everybody said, amen. Okay. And I can already feel the pushback. "Oh, my gosh, Pastor, telling us we got to be there every Sunday." Yeah, I am. I'm telling you, you need to be in the house of God. You need to be in fellowship. But I know things come up, okay, too, all right? So I have grace as well, but your pastor loves you enough to tell you to get in church. That's how much I love you guys. This is the most important thing you can do is have yourself and your family in church. All right. Jesus' confession was this. He constantly went around saying who he is, what he is, and his mission in life. He knew it. He went around confessing it, living it, acting it out. He even said this. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." That's pretty bold. He's like, "Well, that's the Father of God." No. That's the way we all, every one of us in here should be living. If you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Yes. You might be saying, "Man, that's pretty bold." No. That's how we're supposed to be living, guys. And the Apostle Paul said it. He said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He said it. And then Paul also said, "I'm the chief of sinners too, but follow me as I follow Christ." He was humble enough to know that he needed a Savior and a Lord. But he also knew that I'm in hot pursuit of Jesus, and if you want Jesus, you better follow me. Find out what God's Word, this is what we're going to do today, and this is just an exercise that we're going to do today. The Holy Spirit put something on my heart to start doing this. I'm not going to say that we're doing this every Sunday, but to start doing things to make you do stuff in church to act it out. So that you'll do it out there on Monday. So I've got a little exercise that we're going to do today. Now, I'm not going to make you come up front and say anything in front of everybody, okay? Just you can do it right there from your seat. But we're going to have a little exercise here in just a second. What we're going to do is we're going to find out what God's Word says about us and make that our confession. Because that is what the fighting the good fight of faith, what we just read about, that's the good confession. That's the good confession. And in this phrase, and I'm just going to tell you this so you can go home and study this out for yourself, the word "in Christ," "in him," "in whom," "through whom," I mean, there's a lot of these different phrases. There's right at 140 expressions of that phrase, "in Christ," "in him." We're talking about understanding our place in Christ or understanding our place in him. and most of them are in the epistles, okay, which are the letters to the church. And that's where you're going to find out who you are in Christ. The Gospels just talk about Jesus' life and ministry. They didn't, and the one thing about, and I encourage you to read the Gospels too, but the one thing that the Gospels leave out that the Apostle Paul and Peter and all them guys bring the revelation of is what the death of Jesus on the cross did for us. Because in the Gospels, they didn't understand it. They were like, why does he got to go to the cross? Why don't we just take over Rome right now? What's going on with Jesus? So the revelation of the epistles, which is the Apostle Paul in the letters to the church, bring that revelation to us, what the resurrection power does for us as believers. Okay, so I'm going to take you through some scriptures today, and then I'm going to have you confess. We're going to read a scripture. I'm going to read a scripture to you. This is the public reading of scripture, and then we're going to have a confession. And this is what I'm believing, because we're reading the Word of God. God sent His Word to heal us. There's going to be physical healing take place in your body today if you need it from reading the Word of God. Amen. Amen. There's going to be all kinds of healing take place in your heart and your spiritual life as we read the Word of God and as we confess it, because that's what God's Word does, right? And the Holy Spirit confirms His Word with signs and wonders and miracles following. And so that's what I believe, that when I'm in the Word of God and I'm receiving the wisdom and understanding of Scripture from God, that signs, wonders, and miracles are going to follow me all the days of my life. Amen. And it's not just in a church service. It's out there in the world too. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 is one of them that we're going to confess, because this is the great confession. If I could say this is numero uno, we're going to look at, if we have time today, we're going to look at 17. But I may have to do a part two of this message next Sunday, all right? But we're going to look at several before we dismiss today. And the reason why, Pastor, is, you know, I think about the people back in nursery and children's church, okay? So we're not going to stay here till 1 o'clock, because I do have 17 that we could go through today. That's how many I wrote down. But we're going to go just for a little bit here, and I'm going to show you some. And this first one is the great confession. This is every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're born again, you've already done this, but we're going to do it again, okay? And the Bible says in Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And I'm going to say something, guys, and this may do us some pushback on you. Did you know you can confess sin and still not be saved? Yes. You can. This confession is talking about confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Yes. So that's what that's saying. So here's the great confession. And can we read this together? Okay? This is what we're going to do together. Yes. When we come to the confession slide, this is what we're all going to read together, and I'm going to lead you in it. Okay? Ready? I believe in my heart Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. Jesus is my Lord. He is dominating my life. He is guiding me. He is leading me. And if that's the first time you've ever really said that, you're born again right now, because you confess Jesus. That's the great confession. Here's another one. These are in no order, anything to them. I'm just trying to give you some that you can go and highlight. These are things that you need to be doing on Monday mornings in your quiet times with the Lord, confessing these things so that you know who you are in Christ. This one, I love this one. Acts 17, verse 28 says, in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. That means whether I'm here at church, whether I'm at work, at school, at college, wherever I'm at, wherever I'm moving, wherever I live and have my being, I'm in Christ. We've got too many people that are in Christ on Sunday morning, or they say they're in Christ on Sunday morning. They're all dressed up and everything, and then they act like they're in the devil on Monday morning. And they're no different than the world. And so that broadcasts a wrong message to the world. So in him we live, move, and have our being. All right, here's the confession. In him I live and move and have my being. What a vast storehouse of power. In Christ my Savior and Lord, I have life. I have energy. I have strength for the impossible tasks. Just giving you some confessions. You can write out your own confessions. I'm just writing these out to go with that scripture, that you confess this along with that scripture. Here's another one. The scripture is John 15, verses 5 through 7, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered through, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This goes to what the Holy Spirit spoke through Janice, this one, is you can be saved and know the Word of God, but if you're not abiding in the Word of God, whatever you ask for in prayer is not going to happen. Yes. How it happens is you're saved, you confess Jesus, you've got the Word abiding in your heart. Uh-oh, the Word said that I'm walking in unforgiveness, but I willfully say, I have the right to walk in that. To the Holy Spirit, I say, I willfully can walk in that because you, Lord, you weren't here. You don't know what they did to me. And you walk in that, guess what? No prayer is going to ever be heard. You're going to be talking to a brass heaven, all right? They're not going to get through the rooftop, your prayers. But the moment that you surrender your will and submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and say, God, forgive me for walking in unforgiveness for all that you've forgiven me from, and I release that person, boom, open heaven. That's when you're abiding in the Word. But there's a lot of Christians today, what this Word, and I appreciate Jen's bringing that Word today because it just highlights every bit of this. Everything I'm telling you today, all these confessions will never work if you're walking in unforgiveness. You can quote them till you're blue in the face, and you won't. It's not going to work. You've got to walk in the love of God. The love walk is a very, very important walk. And I promise you the enemy's going to challenge you every day to walk in it. So here's the confession. I was just thinking about something where I was challenged. I was challenged this week to walk in it. And I had to choose. Oh, gosh. Lord, I want to send this text. Man, I wanted to send it so bad. Started typing it. Delete. Type, delete. Have any of you ever done that? I'm just telling off on myself, okay? And if you hit send, you can actually hit send unsent, but then that sometimes that don't work. I'm just telling you that. Don't ask me how I know that one. But but I was there. I'm just telling you, I'm not perfect at this, but I do know this, that I all of a sudden that little voice from God, Mark, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. And hit delete. Amen? All right, listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the confession. I abide in him. I live in him. He is the vine. I am the branch. The vine is in the branch, and the branch is in the vine. His life, the life of God, is in me. His nature, the love nature, is in me. And everybody said amen. Just a little bit more on that one. Just as blood flows through my natural body, his life flows through my inner man. I will let that life and love dominate me. This was our scripture that we had, 2 Corinthians 5:17, what we started this off with about understanding the new birth, is therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So you're a brand new creature in Christ, a whole new species. So here it is. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation, being with the life of God, the nature of God, and the ability of God within me. Yes, amen. See, here's the deal. All I'm doing is taking you through Scripture and letting you confess something that goes with that Scripture. And I don't know about you, but I'm feeling stronger already this morning. I'm glad I came to church. But that's the strength that you receive. You start, man, that is me. That's who I am. I need to quit acting like I'm in defeat all the time. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you something right now. God never created a mess. All right? You might have made a mess out of something, but I guarantee you he can fix it and he can repair it if you'll allow him to. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right? Here it is. I am his workmanship. He made me a new creation. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here it is. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. My standing with God is secure. Here's another one. Romans 8, I'm just going to tell you right now, Romans 8 is great. I even did a message one time about that. Romans 8, you just need to read it, the whole chapter. But Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Because I am in Christ Jesus, right now, present tense, there is no sense of condemnation, guilt, or shame about me. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 29 through 31, so that no human being might be boast in the presence of God, and because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. If you're going to brag about something, brag about Jesus. Amen? Here's the confession. Christ Jesus, my Lord, is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. He is my redemption. Romans 5, verse 17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Here's the confession. I have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. I reign as a king or queen in my domain in this life through Jesus Christ. Is everybody starting to get it?
Yes.
All right. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. There's going to be two scriptures to go with this one. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds or by his stripes, you have been healed. Matthew 8, verse 17 says, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Here it is. By his stripes I was healed. God's word tells me I was healed almost 2,000 years ago by his stripes. If I was healed then, I am healed. Healing belongs to me because I am in Christ. Amen. Prayed that with Sherry this morning over Pam and over Donovan. That's their scripture, Sherry, so you keep confessing that one. Romans 8, 2, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Guys, that's a big one. Here it is, the confession. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. It's just the scripture. We just re-quoted it right there in our confession. I've got a few more to share with you, but I want to share this story on this one. There's a story about a John Lake who was a missionary to South Africa, and he was over there ministering during the bubonic plague, and he was taking care of the sick, and he was ministering to them. Some of them got healed, some of them died, but he took care of the sick, he took care of the dying, he did their funerals and everything, and the man never masked up and never wore gloves or anything like that. And the British, when they came over there, the doctors were asking, they said, sir, how are you still living? How are you taking care of all these people? And he said, because I believe in Romans 8, 2. And he said, Romans 8, 2 says, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I am walking in this. And he said, if you don't believe me, then go over there to that person that just passed away. And because there was droves of people passing away. He said, you can take some of the, there was the, I don't want this to sound gross right before lunch, but it was some of the saliva that would come out of them from their lungs. He said, if you take some of that and put it on my hand, I will put it under a microscope and show you that it dies immediately. They took him up on it. This is walking by faith. Took him up on it, did that, put it under a microscope, and sure enough, as soon as it was on his hands, it was dying, was not spreading. And that plague would live like 2 or 3 days after somebody had died. But he said, I believe that scripture, and I'm walking in it because I've got to minister to these families.
Yes.
And I've got to take care of them. And he walked in it. Some of us need to believe that now because 2020 has been 4 years ago. And we're still living in 2020. And you need to get that scripture and start quoting it. I refuse to not live life and stay at home masked up.
Yes.
Okay? I'm going to choose to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to be smart and wise about it. Yeah, I'm not going to be dumb. But I'm not going to be held in bondage by the enemy.
Yes.
By no means. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Here's the confession. Because I am in Christ, The greater one lives in me. He is greater than the devil, greater than disease, greater than circumstances, and he lives in me. Amen. Romans 8:37. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Here's the confession. I am more than a conqueror. Guys, I want you to get this. You're not just a conqueror, you're more than one.
Yes.
Believe that. And here's the last one. We're going to get through them all. Philippians 4, verse 13. Some of you know this one. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me. Here's the confession. Through Christ, my Lord, I can do all things. He strengthens me. I cannot be conquered. I cannot be defeated. I can do all things through him. And everybody said, amen. Everybody getting it? That's not all 17, but that's several of them, and I'll send these notes to anybody that would like them, but I'm going to end right there. But guys, and I've got a little booklet that I'm gonna get as we dismiss here in a little bit that I can give to. I think I may have enough to give one to each family in here. But guys, take these scriptures. This is what you do to fight the good fight of faith and to stay in faith.
Yes.
All right? This is what you have to do, so that you don't get over into Negativeville and being defeated all the time and all that. If you'll start doing these scriptures, you'll start realizing who you are in Christ.
Yes.
And as you do, your faith is going to get stronger. And you're going to overcome a lot of things, and you're going to conquer a lot of things. And there's some people in your family that you need to start walking in this so that you can minister to them.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Every one of you in here can lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. That's every one of you. It's not just for a select few. The Bible says, whoever believes, go lay hands on the sick, believe, pray the prayer of faith, they shall be healed. I'm going to end with this one story. I got 2 minutes, 11:58, okay? He's went home to be with the Lord now. There was a precious man that lived in this community, and he gave me the first opportunity to speak the word of God. Was at the Methodist Church here in town. That was the very first place I ever shared the gospel at. But it was Charles Day who called me to come there. Sweet man. How many of you know Charles Day? Just sweet man. And but there was, it's been years ago, but he had had a heart attack, and he was in the hospital in Elk City. And I'd heard about it, and I thought, I'm going to go by there and pray for him. And so I went into his room, and I'm saying this, not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm standing up here today, but I'm saying this because I did this because I'm a believer.
Yeah.
And you can do this too.
Yeah.
And I walked into that room, and I sat down with Charles, and I said, Charles, I just want to ask you something before we pray. Because sometimes you got to meet people where they're at with their faith, okay? I knew what I wanted to pray. I wanted to make sure he was going to agree with me. So I went, and you know, if you'll read the Gospels, Jesus did that a lot with people. And so when I sat down with him, I said, hey, Charles, I want to ask you something. Are you ready to go home? Because I know you're a believer. Are you ready to go home and be with Jesus? He said, no, Mark, I think there's still some more I need to do. And I said, okay, because this is where we're going to pray then. I'm going to pray that you're going to be healed in Jesus' name. It's a real simple prayer. The Bible says I can lay hands on. I showed him in the Word of God. He knew that scripture too. So I'm going to lay hands on, and I'm going to pray for you. Prayed for him, and I forget how many more years were extended on his life before he did pass away, but he got out of that hospital and lived, and because we prayed that prayer of faith together. Wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It was the Lord doing that healing there in that moment. And I'll never forget, he came up to me one time, and he told me, he said, Mark, he goes, I appreciate you coming. This is what he told me, and I don't say this. I won't say this. Somebody asked Jada to pray this week because they said, you're a professional prayer. Okay, no, we're not professional at praying, okay? We just love Jesus, and we're going to pray for anybody. And I'm not a professional prayer, but he came up to me, and he said, Mark, I'm so glad that you came to the hospital that day and prayed for me, because he said, you're the only buddy that prayed with me in faith.
Yes.
Instead of just, well, if God's will, you'll be healed. No, God's will is he's healed.
Yes.
And he agreed with me by faith that he wanted to be healed, so we just did what the Word says, and it works. And it works, and it'll work for you, but you got to work it. You got to believe it and then work it. Believe it and then do it. And you're like, believe it and do it. Because I'm just going, and it had, because here's the deal. Some of you are like, well, that just puts a lot of pressure on me. There is no pressure, zero pressure. If there's any pressure, it's on him. because this is His Word. That's the way I look at it. I'm just going to go there and love on them and pray for them and believe what the Word says and let God do the rest. But sometimes you need to ask people, do you really want to be healed? Because some people want to be sick, if you haven't figured that out yet, because they get attention from it. Here's the deal. Pastor Martin never wants attention from being sick. I want you to pray for my healing anytime. Nothing's ever going to, I'm going to walk in divine health. That's what I'm saying. I'm living to 120. I'm doing all my stuff I need to do before I go home is what I'm saying. But guys, that's the way you got to believe. And don't be, and I keep saying these things because I just feel like the Holy Spirit's wanting to say some things here. Don't go out of here and thinking, when's the other shoe going to drop? Because some people live like that.
Yes.
God don't want you to live like that. God wants you to enjoy life and have fun. Yeah, we all go through trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world if you believe what the Word says.
Yes.
And it's your faith that overcomes the world. Okay, I'm going to be quiet. Amen? All right. God is good and all the time. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and we're going to do that again. The Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Amen. So I want you to repeat, if you've never said this prayer, I'm going to lead you in this prayer of confessing Jesus. And even if you have said this prayer, I want you to repeat it with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want everybody to stand up. If you have family members there with you, I want you to join hands with them. Jada, will you come up here? And we're going to speak this blessing over all of us today. And we're going to go forth into the harvest knowing who we are in Him. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you His peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. And may everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God Himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome day.